Good evening, well, morning. Morning, afternoon, evening, depending on whereabouts in the world you are listening or watching from. Welcome everybody to the Gaming Careers Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks that we've been away, but we are now back with plenty to cover this week. If this is your first time ever watching this podcast, this is a live show that we do every single week, usually, covering all the live streaming and content creation industry news. Today, we're going to be chatting about Twitch's data leak, Nick Merck's massive contract, loads of new Twitch tests and features, and of course, our main topic, which we'll be talking about, which is streamers, sponsorships, and product releases. So I heavily encourage you all to join in from the chat. We've already got loads of people introducing themselves from all over the world. So I want to say a quick hello to Denitha, Hype Nova, Cali Wally, Novella, GNG, Alexander, as well as plenty of others. And then we'll send this across to Ben to check how he is. How are you doing, Ben?
Good, man. It's been a couple of weeks. I feel like we've been looking for news, and ever since, we'll talk about this, but ever since the leak with Twitch, I feel like it's been a little slower. Maybe people are trying to catch up with everything that happened, but good overall. Went to a panel and spoke my first national panel for gaming, which is pretty cool. And back now from Vegas, so happy to be here on the podcast. How you been, Pete? How's stuff been on your side?
Yeah, good. Also, I saw your I saw some stories on your Instagram. It looked like you were staying up late in Vegas in that panel, so very jealous of of traveling and all those kind of things. Hopefully we'll be able to do similar things next year at TwitchCon and things like that. But yeah, I've been well, been really well, similar to you. Basically, since the last podcast, the massive news is the Twitch leak, which I think everybody now knows about and has been covered in detail. We'll touch on it tonight, but it certainly won't be the main focus of the podcast. But there is quite a lot to start on. Should we dive straight into the Twitch leak stuff? Do you want to sort of introduce that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think by now people have probably seen this. I'd be surprised if you haven't. But basically, a couple weeks back, a huge data leak came out for Twitch's source code, including a lot of secret things. And the biggest of which was the actual revenue ranking for streamers, which since then has been kind of memeified. And people even made up rankings, extensions and things like that for Twitch to see who's making the most money. But there's also things like the Steam competitor, which I think was named Vapor, codenamed Vapor. And of course, all the other source code pieces of Twitch. So huge piece of news that came out. And like I said, since then, it seems like there hasn't been a whole ton of news, probably because Twitch is scrambling to cover this. Thankfully, it seemed like there was not a whole lot of personal info leaked besides obviously the revenue for the streamers. And it looked like some people had some zip codes leaked, and it was like a dozen people total or something. So not too bad. No passwords or anything. People still did a lot of resetting, stream keys, 2FA, that kind of thing. But really crazy to see this much of a leak come out from Twitch. And I think they're still kind of reeling from it even today, really.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon they probably had loads of things scheduled that they wanted to announce since then, but they're still trying to, you know, die down from this huge data leak. It was quite lucky for me because it kind of happened, or the main news of the leak happened in my daytime, which is overnight in the US. So I was one of the first, you know, kind of Twitch news, Twitter accounts to tweet it. So I managed to reap in all of the likes and the retweets from my tweet, which was great. And obviously it's a massive problem. This happens all over the internet. It's not unique to Twitch. We've seen leaks happen to loads of huge companies, but I guess the difference here is that a lot of the creator earnings were also leaked. So like Ben mentioned, there was loads of extensions and people tweeting like the top 100 earners on Twitch and how much they'd earned over the last 2 years. And I think some people were surprised about how much this top 0.01% was earning on Twitch. I think anybody in the industry was probably like, yeah, we've been telling you that the very top of this pyramid is really heavily outbalanced compared to the bottom 99.9%. They are earning big money. And this is just earnings from Twitch, which is like subs and bits. You're not talking about donations, which go through Streamlabs or Stream Elements. You're not talking about sponsorships. You're not talking about YouTube or merch or all those other things. So yeah, they're making big bucks. And I think most Twitch streamers dealt with it as best as they could. They were kind of memeing on it. I saw for a few days, like people referring to each other with their number of like how high of an earner they were. and it kind of coincided with Squid Game, which was like the big hit show from Netflix over the past few weeks, where all the creators had numbers. So like it kind of worked hand in hand with that. But yeah, obviously, if you hadn't heard about this yet, please do go and reset your password. I'm kind of surprised that Twitch didn't enforce a password reset, Ben. They did reset everybody's stream keys in case anything to do with that was leaked. But like you mentioned, and I'll bring this up in the screen share, a few creators got an email basically saying that there was a possibility of the postal / zip code that is associated with your Twitch account also being leaked along with earnings. So that's a big problem if that happened to a big streamer. You know, big streamers try and hide their address as much as possible to try and avoid getting stream sniped or somebody, you know, calling the cops. What do you call that?
Swatting.
Swatting, that's it. Yeah. Anything like that happening to them. So I haven't really seen any big streamers talking about this, but they'd probably want to keep it under wraps. But yeah, in general, not good for Twitch. And they've had a lot of bad PR over the past sort of 6 months. This is icing on the cake, really. But it's not really exclusive to a problem on Twitch. I think what is exclusive is just how much data was leaked. You mentioned about their Steam competitor, and like a lot of people even were looking for things around Amazon in the code as well. So it was a bad, bad day for whoever like wrote the bug that meant that all of this data could be downloaded. But I feel like it's kind of been covered in great detail.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is that I think the people who leaked this said this was part one of the leak. So theoretically, there might be more coming out in the future. I don't know. Hopefully, again, it's no real sensitive info and it's just stuff like this, or maybe not to this level. But I guess we'll see if there's more that's leaked in the future. To some people's point, to Ozfreak's point, I think a lot of this was public info, sort of. Like you said, Pete, too, we kind of knew people were making this money, essentially, but this just sort of proved it and put it on paper. You really could go out there and just look at sub count and figure out how much people are making already, roughly, or at least a minimum for a lot of streamers. So this is just kind of confirming that. I think, in my opinion, the Vapor leak, the Steam competitor, is the big thing that people are kind of sleeping on. Because if this had come out properly, this would have been a really big moment, I think, for Twitch to really set up a big competitor to Steam. That would have been a big bombshell. But now that we know it's being worked on, maybe Steam can kind of be prepared for it, or maybe it's not as serious as a competitor. So I guess we'll see what happens there. They haven't released anything on Vapor that I've seen since this leak came out.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything there either. It's not surprising. Like we've seen many companies go after Steam, haven't we?
Yep.
They've got such a good hold on the market, and it's not surprising, really. If Twitch can integrate with the actual platform that people run games from, then they can probably build deeper integrations there. But yeah, I haven't seen much detail on that. I don't know if it was just literally code and people haven't been able to compile it or actually see what status it was in, but certainly interesting news and something that was covered a lot. And I guess our apologies that we didn't manage to get a podcast out straight away after that. That would be, I guess, one of the nicer things if we had a more ad hoc podcast that we could just go live whenever. But then I kind of like the routine of it coming out on a certain day every week and people, you know, knowing what time to show up. Other than that, I guess we've had a bit of creator news over the past couple of weeks. For a while, it was rumored that maybe Nick Merckx would be the third of the big streamers moving across from Twitch to YouTube. We had Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tapman, but then it was announced in the past couple of weeks that Nick Merckx has decided to exclusively re-sign with Twitch. And I've seen some reports that it's like the biggest contract Twitch has ever actually signed. So any thoughts on that? This was your prediction, wasn't it, Ben, that he was going to be the next one coming across to YouTube? And I said maybe Ludwig or somebody like that. So my bet's feeling more safe than yours.
I thought he would go to, just because the way I saw some clips, I thought he was going to go over to YouTube. And I still kind of feel like he was going to, and maybe Twitch saw what happened with Tim and Lupo and then kind of freaked out and said, oh, we actually have to keep these streamers and make these competitive offers. Because the rumor was that the offers that they gave to Tim and Lupo were just kind of a slap in the face compared to what YouTube was giving. So my guess is they amped up quite significantly the offer. And like you said, I think this was the biggest deal that Twitch has ever done for a streamer. So, I mean, it's awesome for Nick that he's staying on Twitch, and good for everybody, really, that Twitch is still putting out these big contracts to compete with YouTube and that kind of thing. I guess maybe we'll see more contracts come out. I thought we'd have at least one more person move over to YouTube, just the way that people were talking with Fwizz and some of the other creators. And I still think we could see some more contracts come out, but I haven't really seen money besides Nick in the past month or so.
Yeah, I think when we did a stream specifically straight after like Dr. Lupo and Tim moved across, didn't we? And we talked about how intentional YouTube is with the creators that they choose to sign. So maybe they're just, it's a longer term strategy and it's not, they're not trying to do it all in 1 year. Maybe they sign one or two every year, because we saw Courage and Valkyrie. I think that was 2 years ago, and then this, or last year, and then this year we've seen Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tapman. So we'll see where this keeps going, but it's, we can't just report about the streamers moving across to YouTube. We've got to be fair to them when they do manage to keep a big streamer like Nick Merckx on the platform. Next, really, I think we've got maybe 10 or so updates on the Twitch platform. Some of these are minor updates, I would say, and some are being tested and only relevant to a few creators right now. Where do you want to start, Ben? If you're following the same sheet as me, then I can sort of go hand in hand with you, screen sharing them in order.
Sure. Yeah, so there's a slew of updates here to Twitch, and some of them are bigger than others, I would say. The first one I'll talk about is they came out with a feature on Twitch that's a first-time chatter highlight. So when a viewer says a message for the first time in a channel, you kind of highlight that message just for the streamer and the moderators, I believe. It's not for everybody, just for the stream side, which I think is actually one of the cooler features Twitch has done in a while. And I've seen this in the streams I've been in. So it's pretty cool to see it active. It does help you call out somebody new if you are streaming and you don't recognize that name. Just to know, or mods if they want to help welcome somebody in. It's a nice feature. So I don't really have anything bad to say about this besides it's cool. And I'm glad that it's just for the streamers and the mods, because it could also, if you know that that's happening for everybody as a streamer or as a viewer, you might be less likely to type in there and draw attention to yourself. So I like that they made that little tweak too.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they've clearly thought about this. Not showing that it's a first-time chatter to the whole of chat is a good decision, because that could put people off from sending a message. And really nice way for streamers to be able to interact with the people that they want to become regular viewers, you know, like having that message highlighted. I think it's a good update. So this is one of the ones that Twitch has officially announced and is live right now. You said you've seen it actually in channels. So yeah, keep an eye out in your Twitch chat if you are streaming on Twitch for any new viewers sending their first chat message. Make sure you interact with them properly. And then next up is the launching of a creative directory, is it? Or which one have I got up here next?
I think you've got it right. I'm a little confused on this one, though, to be honest. So this is on their forum where you can submit suggestions, basically saying that they're going to be adding a creative directory. Now, I don't understand, is this going to be a new, just like how you go onto the site right now and you have like browse and then the music section right now, is there going to be a new creative category specifically to go through all the different types of like subcategories? Or is this just going to be a creative category as, you know, just chatting and those kind of things? Because I feel like we've had creative directories in the past, haven't we? Is this anything new, really?
Yeah, so what the... So this is, like you said, it's the user voice, which is like how Twitch takes suggestions from the community and people can vote on them, and then hopefully the more voted for community suggestions will be a higher priority for Twitch to work on. And the response from somebody actually at Twitch, a program manager, says that they are actively building a creative directory, which they expect to launch by the end of the year. The creative directory will reflect all of our artistic categories, including art, beauty and body art, food and drink, makers and crafting, and software and game development. So from my perspective, that would mean, like you said, like a music directory that can have subcategories within it.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it could just be one single directory and then these are the tags that you can use within it. But I feel like that exactly the same. That's existed for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. I need to see a visual of this, because I think what they're saying, based on how I'm reading this, is it's going to be a new section of the site. So it's not just going to be a new category where you can stream to, you know, choose just chatting and stream to that. You would choose a category, like you'd be streaming in the art category or food and drink or makers, and that would be branched under the creative directory. So if that's the case, I think that's cool, because that's a new way of finding just creative content all in one spot, versus just going back to a creative category, which is what we had originally on Twitch. So I think it's got to be that. I just got to see an image of it to see what it looks like in the flow and how that all works
out.
The words
directory and category here are blurred for me, and I'm not sure which way around they're talking about it. I would actually question if there's enough people wanting to stream that to make its own separate part of the site, though. But I guess you could say the same about music and sport. Like, they're not particularly big right now, but they're trying to, Twitch is trying to grow those sections exactly. of the site, and maybe they see art and software development and food and drink as big. I mean, these are big sectors on YouTube, right? If we're taking it, if we're not talking about live streaming and we're talking about creating VOD content, food and drink is massive on on YouTube. And so Twitch is always wanting to be the platform where you're doing that content live. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is a completely new section of Twitch that they're working to build. Anyway, they've said that it's hopefully rolling out by the end of the year. So as soon as it is live, we'll cover it in the podcast and we'll know a little bit more about it.
Give an actual walkthrough. I think to your point, it's got to be they just want to grow that stuff, because I think that's how music was. When they launched that music section at the top of the page on Twitch last year, I don't know that they really had enough music stuff to fill out an entire directory. And I don't know if it's even built as a directory right now, but in either case, I think they really just want to grow the non-gaming stuff, and that's a great way to do that, which I've heard from creative streamers that they want more of this kind of support, because a lot of types of creative streaming don't fit nicely into a category that they have right now. So having a dedicated overall directory and then more tagging and category options might help solve that. So, I mean, I think it's a good change overall if they want to grow that side of things.
So talking about little updates that Twitch are announcing, they've also, Zach Bussey has discovered that there is going to be a new badge that you can apply to your chat for emote artists. Obviously, there's a big section of the creative community of people that create emotes for streamers. And you're hopefully soon going to be able to, you know, mark that person in chat by giving them a certain badge. This image isn't particularly good because Twitter has decided to like expand it the whole way. And obviously it's meant to just be a little icon next to somebody's name. But I imagine this is going to work the exact same way as VIPs work right now. It's going to be the streamer's control. They can choose who to award the emote artist badge to. I also presume you'll be able to, you know, give it to more than one person, because big streamers certainly probably have more than one person creating emotes for them, especially with Halloween and Christmas coming up, and they're constantly, you know, rotating them. So nice little update. It's certainly probably going to help with emote artists who have panels on their Twitch page about how they create emotes, because if they're chatting in the big streamers, people are going to be like, what's that badge mean? And then click on their name and then go and see, oh, they're the emote maker for, I was going to say Tim the Tap Man, he's not on Twitch anymore, so... Need to think of Nick Merckx.
Yeah.
And then maybe go and follow and spend money getting emotes made by the same person or something like that. But yeah, relatively minor. I don't know when this is going to come out. Neither does Zach. So I guess we'll have to see this when we see this. Any thoughts, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, this is really cool. Again, a little feature that I think I can't knock for any reason. I think it's cool that they can highlight this. It'd be cool if they had other similar roles like video editor or other types of, you know, manager, things like that in the stream too. But this is cool because it also supports the creative community around Twitch. So if you're not a streamer, you can now kind of get yourself out there in channels and let people know that you do make emotes. So it's a cool way to support that sub business on streaming too.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, let's stick with emotes and go to the emote analytics. So this is actually tweeted from Twitch's support Twitter. And they're basically talking about how you can see how often different emotes are used on your channel, right? Have I got that right, Ben?
Yes. Yeah, you can go through and just see within a certain time frame. You can look both within your own channel and in other channels, so within or without your channel, and see which of your emotes are getting used the most across Twitch or just in your channel, which is kind of interesting. And I mean, it might help you look at which emotes you should make variations on, or which ones to kind of rotate out if ones aren't performing very well and people aren't using them. So that's a cool feature. Again, these are all little things that aren't mind-blowing to me, but they're nice little things to have just to tweak your own content a little bit, make it more engaging for people. So I think it's a great change.
How many streamers do you think are going to be diving into that analytics month by month, making business decisions based on which version of their animated emotes are being used the most? I mean, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and thinking, is this what Twitch should be prioritizing? I love data, Ben, and me and you are both data nerds. So I'd love this, you know, seeing which emotes get used the most. But I'm just thinking from somebody seeing this that's like following Twitch's Twitter account, maybe this is why they've tweeted this from the support account, because they're like, this is such a minor feature. And if we're trying to just sweep this this huge data leak under the rug, we can't be tweeting things like this from the same account. But you can certainly see why people might think they've got higher priorities, but we're talking about a huge business here where they have multiple different teams and probably,
right,
you know, a team of 4 or 5 developers have been working on this for a few months and they're completely separate to the rest of the business. So yeah, I like it. It'll be cool to see if you're like a medium sized streamer, you know, between, I say medium sized streamer, but probably a partnered streamer. We're talking around 100 viewers. This probably is quite useful data because you don't have that many slots for emotes and you want to see which ones your community use. And maybe you think you know that by just reading your chat, but now you actually have the data to back that up with.
Yeah, I think it's cool being able to see off your channel too. So that would be interesting to me to see which emotes people are using in other channels of mine. Because then you could do things like make, you know, holiday edits to that specific emote that people love using the most. Or again, just get rid of stuff that maybe you like, but if you look at the data, no one has used that emote for a year. So maybe it's time to refresh that.
It's not your point.
These are just minor. Again, this is not what's broken with Twitch, right? Mm. This is not like the crucial issues that people are facing on Twitch. So it's nice, but I'm not like going to go spread the word about this to everybody, essentially.
It would be nice, I think, on seeing where your emotes are performing outside of your channel, if you could see where they're being used. Like if you could get a list of Twitch channels that are, you know, most commonly your chat, well, people from your chat that are sub to you that have your emotes are using your emotes. But maybe there's some like GDPR stuff about, you know, where people are using emotes. I don't know. I don't understand all of that data stuff. What's next then? The dashboard quick action. Yeah, this is really small now. But they've made some changes to the dashboard. The dashboard in general has had massive improvements over the past year, maybe 18 months. And they're kind of just making it look much more responsive. So you can, you know, have these quick action buttons at various different sizes depending on how big you want to make them. So if you resize the taskbar as this really low quality GIF is showing, and then click save, then the buttons resize with that. So you're no longer having to have these huge buttons taking up a massive part of your dashboard. I'd be surprised if you have a heavy opinion on this, Ben, but I'll always give you the opportunity.
Well, what I was going to say is to your last point of like, do these really matter? The funny thing is they worded this tweet saying, we've heard you want more control over your quick actions. Like, this is what we're hearing from you. We're making the change. And one of the top comments was like, this is what you heard from us? Like, of all things, this is the thing. Like, again, I'm not knocking this. It's nice to have the change. But if you're looking at priorities, I don't understand. This one gets bumped over. And it's different teams, to your point. But it's just kind of funny when you have like the entirety of Twitch source code leak and then there's like this little change to the dashboard, and I don't know. It just seems like a contrast to me.
Yeah, really minor. And then the last one, something that we talked about maybe last podcast or a couple of podcasts ago, that we saw some leaked screenshots of the ability to be able to rewind streams on Twitch, which is a feature that, you know, has never existed and something that really separates YouTube from Twitch. And again, officially from the Twitch support Twitter account, they've said over the next month some viewers may see up to 3 new buttons on live channel pages: rewind the stream, remind me, and watch trailer. So that rewind the stream button, the original screenshots we saw was rewinding 5 minutes. Some people who have posted responses to this have seen 2-minute rewinds, but it's not just
did you click something or just your
internet? Maybe back live.
Oh, I think we're back.
Yeah. Let us know if we're back live. I've never had that before. But OBS just told me that I disconnected and reconnected. So looks like to me that we're back live. Excel Joe says that we're back. So thanks for that. The podcast audio listeners are like, what are they talking about? Come on, edit this out. But we're not going to edit the podcast. You could deal with the live production side of things. I was just saying that these 3 buttons might show up. Again, it's not as fully fledged as YouTube's rewind feature, which you can literally like rewind the whole stream and click around the timeline to wherever you want. And then you can even catch up by watching the stream at 1.25 or 1.5 times speed. Some differences there in the platform, but at least now Twitch have officially said that this is a wider test. It's going out to more and more streamers, or actually more and more viewers. And I've seen, again, some concerns from people saying that they want to disable this. And it's pointed out that if you have VODs not enabled on your stream, then this feature will never show. So hopefully that's also the implementation when it goes live.
Yeah, I know we talked on the rewind stream a little bit in the last podcast, I think, but it's also interesting there's 2 other features baked in here, which are watch trailer and remind me. So I guess you'll be able to watch the stream or the channel trailer while on the channel page, or even while they're live. There, again, there's no visual for any of this, so we're just kind of guessing what it'll look like right now because it's just on their community suggestions. And then also the remind me button, which I guess is different than the typical follow notification, that sort of thing. Maybe you get a notification for like remind me when the next stream happens kind of button, which would be cool. Again, we don't know what it'll look like, but these sound like cool features that are a little bigger than the dashboard tweaks, in my opinion. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, totally agree. That's probably it for new Twitch updates. As we usually do on this podcast, whenever there's a new actual video from me on the Gaming Careers channel, I'll just let people know, because a lot of people here listen to the podcast but don't necessarily watch every new video or don't get notifications of every new video. This video has done probably the best I've ever seen any new video do, which is surprising because usually those would be like the OBS videos. But in 2 weeks, it's done nearly 200,000 views. So it's been pushed out all over YouTube. And I looked at the click-through rate and it's super low, which is a good indication of YouTube pushing it really, really far to people way outside of my subscriber base. You can see yourself, that was like Inception there. We were watching a video of the podcast within the video of the podcast. But yeah, for people listening and who haven't seen this, this video was just looking at 7 free tools that I use for streaming or I see other streamers use that I think are underused and people should know about. Tools like Video Ninja, which is how we do this podcast right now, how I get Ben's camera into OBS super easily, and I can use in multiple different scenes. So like I can swap to Ben full screen there, and you know, it's super high quality and super low latency. But yeah, this video did really, really well. I don't know if you caught it, Ben, and you had any questions or opinions on it.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I think you asked me on some ideas for ideas to put in there, but it's a cool feature to see some of those things in there. I definitely Video Ninja we use every single week, and you've definitely convinced me on how nice this is to just pipe stuff into OBS if you're doing a podcast, because back in my day, it was using the Discord screen cap, and then if you switch windows, so this is a lot better than that for sure. And it's funny how there's always some new features coming out that are maybe not the most known to people. This kind of video is helpful for. So I definitely liked watching that, and glad to hear it worked well for you, because I know the OBS stuff is pretty good normally, but this sort of stuff is just very generable and applicable to about everybody who's streaming, really.
Yeah, I heard back from a couple of the people that I featured in this video or the tools that I featured in this video that like they saw notable jumps in traffic. So I'm glad I didn't give like the Reddit hug of death, I think they call it, like where so many people get sent to a website at once. But it was nice to be able to support like some of the more indie developers who maybe don't have, you know, huge audiences already knowing about their product. But the video did really well. But let's go on to the main topic of today's pod. Well, we'll spend a good chunk of time. For those of you that don't follow the drama subreddits looking at Twitch streamers, there has been quite a interesting topic, let's say, this week. Popular YouTube streamer, used to be a Twitch streamer, and co-owner of 100 Thieves, Valkyrae, launched a new beauty product or a new skincare product this week called Reflect. It's spelt R-F-L-C-T. R-F-L-C-T, so Reflect without the vowels, which claimed to be helping with people that sit at their computers all day who are absorbing a lot of blue light. And I don't really know how to describe this, Ben, but the internet does what the internet does best, and dived into the research and found that there was very little, and a lot of the claims on the website or claims by Valkyrae about how blue light from your monitors is damaging seem to be questioned, rightfully so. I think this is kind of, we've seen the gaming industry, which streaming is obviously a part of, become very, very susceptible to being marketed to. Like, over, if you look at like the last 20 years, the number of products that have been advertised to gamers by slapping RGB onto them, like hard drives. Like, you don't need a gaming hard drive, you know, external hard drive or something like that. And it's worked for many years, and then gamers have become very susceptible to it, and now rightfully so call out anything that, you know, doesn't actually make any difference, or like, Why are you trying to market this to gamers? So this has been a real rough one. I've kind of followed this loosely, and I know loads of streamers have had their opinions on it. And I don't want this to become like a bashing of Valkyrie stream, but I think there are probably some lessons learned, and we can talk a little bit about our own experiences of working with sponsors and products that have done well when they've worked with sponsors, and instances like this where it hasn't been received well. And I'll point out, this has only not been received well by, you know, the vocal audience on the live stream fail subreddits and things like that. There's probably a lot of her fan base that have received it really well and will go and order it when it actually goes into stores. So where do you want to start with this, Ben? Because we've got a lot to cover and share our own experiences as well. So let's hear your take. How many bottles of Reflect did you order on launch?
At least 6. I sit at my computer all day, so I need all the protection.
You've got orange lights behind you right now. You should be fine. This is just for blue light.
It counters out. I think that's how that works. They balance each other out. No, so this is really interesting because, to your point, I've been following it too. And it was really funny to see like the complete flip, because I saw when she initially announced this, and the entire comment section was just like, this is amazing. I love this. You're so brave to do this. And then suddenly, like within like 24 hours, it went completely the opposite direction. People backed out and were critiquing this. And to be fair, I think it's okay to critique this. And it is, because to your point, this audience, the gaming audience, has had so much marketing thrown at it, especially in the recent years, that there are scams out there and things that don't work that are just trying to hit that audience to sell to. So I think it's good that the audience did critique this. Again, I don't want this to be a rag on Ray as a person or anything, but the idea of actually just looking at the products that someone's representing is definitely important. And I think we always talk about, if you're going to do a sponsorship of any kind, you should at least test or believe in the product to some level, right? So I think the story behind what she was talking about was pretty cool, and she seemed to have a pretty cool attachment to what the mission of it was. The issue was just the actual effectiveness of the product and whether the problem actually exists in the first place. So it's different than some other people who have done their own products. I was talking to people before the podcast about, I'm really looking like the health space of health products, because there are some other products out there in, whether it's like books or peripherals, things like that. I think the health space is trickier because research comes into it and things like that. So things like Tyler One has his pre-workout, which is Blood Rush. And that stuff I've not seen a whole lot of critique for. But to be fair, pre-workout for a supplement is a very established concept, right? People have been making pre-workout for years. And so I don't think there's as much critique for that kind of thing versus this, where you're saying basically there's a new problem. There's a new problem of this blue light that we have to solve. There's no solution out there yet. So here's mine. And I think that's why there was a lot more critique for this than other similar products that maybe weren't, you know, the first of their kind, but just a new addition or like a better version of something that was already out there. So that's my kind of perspective on it. I know there's a lot of other products that people have done or sponsorships and collaborations. Do you have any thoughts on that side as well?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's a bit of a difference between people just putting their name on a product. Like I haven't researched Tyler One's pre-workout, but I would imagine that is a supplement company coming to him and saying, do you want to we have this product, we can white label it, you can add all your own branding, it's completely safe, here are all the tests that we've done. Like, it's probably very, very similar to another product that exists. But what Valkyrie is trying to do is something completely new, and I think a lot of people are trying to say that she's invented a problem that doesn't really exist, and it doesn't need to be solved. But we've got loads of examples of I guess good collaborations between brands and streamers. If I go back to the screen share here, we've got things like Shroud and Logitech. There's a whole range of Logitech products that have Shroud's name on, and they've been super popular. But again, a bit of a difference here is that these products existed without Shroud's name on. This is just the G Pro series, and you can just buy the Shroud branded ones. So Shroud hasn't had to do anything for that. He's just signed a contract and probably has to use the peripherals and talk about them 3 times a month or something like that would be his contractual obligations. From the YouTuber side of things, we've got things like Peter McKinnon, really famous YouTuber, talks a lot about photography and videography. He's worked with Nomatic to design his own backpack, which again has been super popular. And he's also worked with Polar Pro to make his own variable ND filters, which again are really, really popular. How much he's involved in these, it's hard to say. Like with the backpack, I remember watching the launch video and he's talking about like the specific compartments that he wanted and how it's been built. But, you know, that's also good marketing. He might have just been completely separate to it and been like, yeah, I quite like this, put my name on it, let's sell tens of thousands of units. So there is a big difference, I think, in how brands collaborate with content creators. And YouTube seems to be, I guess, a little bit further ahead in this space. But again, it's tough to find examples of health products that work with streamers. And they're rightfully so going to be the ones that get more heavily scrutinized. So, I mean, there's also the last example that I have to share on screen is like the 100 Thieves Gucci one, which is quite funny because it also features Valkyrie in the video.
Yep.
And this was like some £3,000 bag or something like that. But there's been plenty of collaboration between brands and streamers for a long time. And like to talk about some of my personal experience being a content creator in this space, I get, you know, dozens of emails every day from random brands wanting me to be sponsored by them or talk about their products or feature their products in videos. And to give you a rough idea, I probably turn down 99 out of every 100 emails that I get, because you can throw about 50 away right away because they're just like Blue Yeti clones that have been built in China and they literally look the exact same as the Blue Yeti. That's probably the most common one that I get. But then there's even like everyone will have a different line as to where their ethics lie. So a good example is like Raid Shadow Legends. I've probably had 200 emails from them over the course of the last 2 years. And I know plenty of creators that have worked to promote them. And, you know, if they really believe in the product and like it and think it's a good fit for their audience, then all the power to them. I don't particularly love that game or have spent any amount of time on that game. And I don't think it's a great fit for the channel. I'd much prefer to work with the brands that I already do work with, where I either use the product or think it's useful for my audience. But that's just where my ethical line lies, and everyone will have a different one. And then everyone's opinion is skewed on that. But to give you an idea, yeah, I turn down the vast, vast majority of things that come in my inbox wanting to work as a sponsorship. And I think what this has kind of highlighted, this whole Valkyrie situation, is you might really know your audience well, but at the end of the day, you can lose them in a heartbeat. And we'll see how this affects Valkyrie moving forward. It's so early. We're still in the first week of this being announced, but I wouldn't be surprised if this could completely kill her career. Now, I would be surprised by that, I guess, because she's like involved in 100 Thieves and she's, you know, friends with a lot of big streamers, and she's still relatively young. But you've got to think about these huge decisions and the fact that we have this cancel culture now, and like one bad decision like this, where she clearly just didn't research enough. And she's even like done an apology stream, which didn't go down very well either. But there is big, you know, well, there's big consequences to these decisions that people make. So, well, that's my experience. You've got your own experiences to share, I'm sure, Ben, about working with sponsors.
I do. I mean, I haven't worked with a ton of sponsors through my work. The funny example I have to share that's kind of health related is back in like 2016, this company doesn't exist anymore, so I can talk about it. I did a sponsorship with Power Toothpaste, which was like caffeinated toothpaste. And it was marketed, I think they were trying to give over the gamer audience because of G Fuel and everything. And it folded really fast. But yeah, that was an example of something at the time. That's a thing where you'd want to see the research, right? Like caffeinated toothpaste. But I think it was just so early on that
you're just rubbing
at that point,
sugar on your teeth.
Yeah, exactly, right? The idea was like, oh, it's faster absorbing through your gums than through your blood. I don't even know. But I didn't even really care at that point because I was so new to it. And I think people didn't really care either because it was just so new. Like sponsorships in gaming in general were still pretty new. Whereas now we're years and years into streaming and people have become, like you said, more used to this kind of thing and more skeptical, I think, of this kind of stuff. So I think it is good that this was critiqued and we shouldn't just take it and encourage it because some big face is behind it. But to your point, it's also, I think this niche is very new and there's still a lot of new areas that haven't been done with sponsorships or partnerships, products, that kind of stuff. I can't think of another streamer who's done beauty stuff so far. And if somebody in the chat knows, I'd love to hear.
Pokimane did, right? Pokimane did like... a palette, like a makeup palette.
Okay.
But I think, again, like she might have worked on the exact colors that we used, but I think it was way more hands-off than what I hope happened behind the scenes with Valkyrie and this brand. Because also like the way that Valkyrie shared it was like she'd been working on it for 2 years and like multiple meetings and all these kind of things. And it sounds like she was very heavily involved, which kind of came out to her detriment when like people are then questioning the studies behind, like, why aren't they sharing any of the studies? So yeah, but I totally agree. Go on, after you.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think from what I've heard from her talking about it now is that she's basically locked into a contract for 2 years or something to talk about this product. So it's a really tough situation where it sounds like she doesn't even believe in it as much anymore, or doesn't want to, because the whole thing is that they can't share the studies for some reason. And theoretically, it's so that competitors can't make the same product. But I mean, when you're trying to solve a new problem and you can't show your research on why that problem is being solved, then it's a bit of an issue. I think that'll helpfully help other streamers know not to lock into a long contract like that or something. And again, to be really careful around new problems that you're trying to solve the product. So like we've said, because I think this is one of the first ones where there's not really a competitor out there to build off of. So if you're going to go out there and make some other new solution to a problem that only gamers have, you gotta be really careful on the research and the contract. And I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like Valkyrie's example is going to be a lesson to other people kind of going down the same path in the future, honestly.
For sure. I know, like, a lot of the good advice that I see getting shared about sponsorships when you're starting out is, you know, don't jump into signing contracts as soon as somebody puts a bit of money down on the table. Or there's a lot of predatory companies that will even try and get you to sign a contract without paying you and just sending you free product. And you've got to think to yourself, am I actually getting a good deal here? And it can be really tempting when you're, I mean, in a way, the Twitch affiliate scheme is, like, in essence, one of these things, right? You've, like, got three concurrent viewers and they're trying to lock you down to an exclusive contract. Like, that's not a good contract to sign. You're not actually going to be making any money by signing that, but they do a good job of making it seem like, oh, you'll have a sub button and people will be able to donate through bits. And you're thinking, this is it. I'm going to be a huge streamer. And there's plenty of companies out there that you know, prey on smaller streamers. And it's the same on YouTube. As soon as you get, I would say, even like 2,000 or 3,000 subscribers, you start to get emails in your inboxes from all sorts of companies trying to promote their products. And some of these are so generic, and they even have, like, the wrong names in the email address, or they'll have not blind copied all of the emails in, so you're just in one massive email with a load of other creators, and you're like, this is just spam at this point. But you know, I think the lesson that I'm trying to talk about here is, like, don't just jump at every opportunity to make money, because your audience is going to see through it. And in cases like this, where, like, she's been scrutinized and she can't now get out of the contract for whatever reason, I guess because she's a co-founder, like, it's damaging. And I actually don't know what the solution is, because if this was just a bad contract, I would just try and get out of it. But it seems like she's tried to do that and she can't.
It's really tough. I'm not sure what, maybe she'll find some way to do that, or they'll find a way to publicize the studies. Because, I mean, the way she spoke about it was that she really believed in the studies that were done and there was a ton of research, but they couldn't publish it for some reason. So maybe it'll get published if it's out there. But yeah, I mean, really, it's just a lesson to other people of how to negotiate this kind of stuff. I mean, have you ever had the chance? Because I think there's a difference between sponsorships and doing, like, a product release with your name on it. Have you ever had the chance to work on a product release? And it's so new, I think, right? There's not many examples out there.
I mean, the super basic, super generic example is merch. Like, Streamlabs and Stream Elements even have really easy ways for streamers to be able to sell merch with their logos on. Like, you can set it up in 3 or 4 minutes, and, like, all of the back end of shipping the product to the customer is all sorted for you. I've probably had 25 companies approach me individually about setting up and selling merch as well. And it probably is something that I want to do one day, but I would, like, you can clip this. I would want it to be so good that I would wear it. And I'm quite fussy in those terms. Like, the number of just poor quality hoodies that I see streamers selling, like, really just generic and, like, badly printed. And I would never want to do that to my audience. And again, that's where my ethical line lies. But I would want to make proper merch that I would really want to wear, and, you know, high quality stuff. I guess that's the closest thing that I've had to, like, products with my name on. I get involved with a lot of companies early on in, like, the NDA times in giving feedback about products, because obviously I have a lot of experience when it comes to microphones, audio interfaces, mic arms, cameras, all those kind of things. But those are usually, like, I love doing that kind of thing because hopefully it improves the product at the end of the day. And then, like, I get way more time testing the product before actually goes live. So it also makes for a better video review. So it's like better for the consumer, and it's better for my video, which ultimately is also better for the consumer. So, or like the audience in general. So I don't know. It's a difficult one. I mean, you best not deny, Ben, that when Valkyrae's team reach out to me to do a Reflect product review, I'm doing that. I'm taking the bag. To. Yeah. You know, you got to get paid. And blue light is seriously dangerous, guys. Come on.
Yeah, serious problem that we need to spread the word on.
There's at least one study out there somewhere that says it is anyway. But no, I kind of joke, but like there are lessons that we can learn from this. And I think one of the lessons is it doesn't matter how big you are. Like people are going to see when you're just going for a money grab and call you out on it. And maybe this wasn't a money grab and Valkyrae really believes in the issues caused by blue light. We'll see over the next month or so if that is the truth. But right now, I think the critique is completely fair. I mean, the hate is never really fair, but critiquing is absolutely fair. And like I said, lots of lessons that creators of all sizes can learn. And if you're ever, I mean, I'm going to plug the Gaming Careers Discord here, because if you're ever like getting your first sponsorship and you want to talk to other creators about that, I think that's the most useful thing you can do. When I started out on YouTube, I had no idea, like, what can I charge for, an ad spot at the beginning of my videos at a certain sub size or a certain number of viewers? And I think you need like a group of people that you can discuss that kind of thing with, just to make sure that you're not getting ripped off, because most of these brands are going to try and rip you off. And because they know that you're so small, that this might be the first email that you've ever received with an offering, you need to know your worth at the end of the day. And my thought process has always been like, I'm just going to keep creating as great content as I can and keep growing, and then, you know, wait for the bigger brands and the people that I want to work with to contact me, rather than just taking all of the small things that are in my inbox right now when I'm at like 2,000 subscribers or something like that.
Yeah. And to your point, not just only the rates and that sort of thing, but also maybe having a friend group talk through the actual sponsorship or the product that you're going to be working with and whether there's any red flags that they see or anything. I think that's going to become more important as more and more brands come into this space. And maybe it seems fine to you, but your friend saw something or knows somebody who worked with that person and there was an issue in the past. So having that network is going to be really valuable for helping vouch that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. And there's so many new companies arriving in this space. Like, just spend a bit of time, look at the sources that they're citing on their website as to why they're a great product. Have they actually been featured on The Verge, or is that just like something that they've added to their website for some reason? Plenty of lessons to learn. Hopefully that was helpful for people. I see lots of suggestions in the chat talking about Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, which is a great example actually, because that's all over Netflix, isn't it? But yeah, I think that's probably gonna wrap us up this week. Back next week again, I think, Ben, if you're not flying off to do more gambling in Vegas, or what was it? No, you were actually at a conference, weren't you? But
yeah, a little gambling too. But no, we should be back next week, back to our normal schedule. Hopefully we get some more news coming out after the leak. I think YouTube sounds like they're about to roll out a roadmap, so maybe we'll have that next week. We'll have to see.
That sounds interesting. Yeah, we can definitely cover that. It's awesome to see like what people are working on. I wonder if Twitch will be doing a GlitchCon, actually, now I think about it. Will they be doing a virtual TwitchCon, maybe with a roadmap as well? Maybe they're just going to sweep the rest of this year under the rug.
Probably, yeah. We know that TwitchCon's back next year, so maybe they just save all their stuff for next year. It's hard to say. I feel like we'd have heard by GlitchCon by now, but
yeah, true. We'll see. We probably would have. But that'll probably do it for us. So thanks everybody for joining, as you always do. It's awesome having so many people here in chat. Like we still get comments every week of people saying, is this pre-recorded? So we need to do a better job of pulling out questions from chat clearly, Ben. But that will do it for me. So good evening, good afternoon, good night, and I'll see you guys next week.
See y'all. Thank you.